Welcome to Ominous Ones. I'm Tara.
And I'm not Tara.
We are a true crime podcast that covers missing people, murders, and all things ominous. If you like what you hear, make sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes.
This is another episode of Connor predicting the future.
This case starts when Carl Eric Brandt, who went by Charlie, was born on February 23rd, 1957. Charlie's parents immigrated from Germany to Texas and then moved on to Connecticut and continued to move for his dad's job, and he worked at International Harvester. He had a sister who was 2 years older named Angela and at least two younger sisters, but I couldn't find much about them. At some point, the family lived in Fort Wayne, Indiana for a while and were said to take vacations in Florida, where Charlie would later live. In 1986, Charlie married Teresa Helfrich, who went by Terry. No relatives were invited to their wedding, and it was really small. The couple moved to Big Pine Key in 1989, where they bought a beach house.
A girl called Terry.
Yeah, isn't that how it normally is?
No, I thought boys were called Terry.
I thought it was girls.
I don't know.
Charlie got a job as a radar specialist for Ford Aerospace after getting a degree in electronics. In early September of 2004, the couple were getting ready for Hurricane Ivan to hit. At this time, everyone said they were perfect together, had a great marriage, and did everything together. Terry's niece, who she was close to, told them if they wanted, they could stay at her house by Orlando to ride out the hurricane further inland. It was about a 6 hour drive north. They took her up on the offer. Her niece was 37-year-old Michelle Lynn Jones, and while the couple was at her house, she talked to her mom, Mary Lou, regularly. They got to her house on the 2nd and were still there on the 13th when Michelle's friend Lisa had plans to go to her house. Before she could get there, Michelle called her and said Charlie and Terry had been fighting and drinking, so maybe it wasn't a good idea for her to come over. After that, no one heard from Charlie, Michelle, or Terry. Mary Lou was worried because she hadn't heard from her daughter and she was used to the regular phone calls. She called Michelle's friend Debbie, who had a spare key, and she agreed to go over to Michelle's to check on them.
Yikes.
Would you go?
Absolutely.
You'd be like, oh, absolutely, I'll go check on them. Would you expect to find anything weird?
I would expect to find them dead in there.
Shocking. Once there, she knocked. No one answered, so she tried the door and couldn't get in. She looked in the garage window where she saw Charlie dead. He had hung himself with bed sheets, so she left the garage and called the cops.
She couldn't get in, yet she had a spare key.
I think she felt something was off, 'cause she, like, they mentioned that her mom, like, asks her friend to go over there 'cause she has a key. And then she's like, oh no, I can't get in. So she's like looking in the windows. So I think she was like, I feel like I probably shouldn't go in there. I mean, that's what I think, because yeah, I thought that was odd too.
Yeah, like you have a key, and then she's like, man, I can't get in. Why were you the one that was sent then?
Not sure. But she saw Charlie dead in the garage, so she called the cops. They got there and went in the house using Debbie's key. So
That
she
she did have on her. If she
definitely
just
had it.
could get in, she chose not to.
Inside, they found Terry dead on the couch with 7 stab wounds to her chest. They kept going through the house and made the last and worst discovery. Michelle was in her room. She had been disemboweled and decapitated.
Jeez. With a, like, kitchen knife?
Her head was sitting next to her body, and some of her organs and heart had been taken out. Her breasts were cut off, the left leg was cut off, and her left arm. The murder weapon was a kitchen knife out of Michelle's house.
Good grief. I guessed the kitchen knife thing because I'm like, who has anything of substance laying around when they're, I couldn't. The only thing you could find here is a dull ass kitchen knife to kill somebody with.
I don't know,
I mean, besides a gun, but.
people have saws and stuff at their house, though.
That's wild. Could you imagine trying to cut somebody's head and their leg off with a kitchen knife?
No, can you imagine walking into that scene?
Mine are so dull, I couldn't even cut a tomato.
Well, this isn't a good place to kill someone then. Probably a good thing. Keep them dull. They concluded that Charlie had killed Terry and then her niece and then hung himself. They searched Charlie and Terry's house in Big Pine and found some ominous things. Charlie had a bunch of, quote, surgery themed posters and books.
Side note, I love when you put ominous into the story to tie our names in.
I have made it my new mission to add in the word ominous to every case forever.
I love it. It's like when you're watching Family Guy and they say Family Guy.
Exactly. And they even mention on Family Guy when they're like, ooh, they said the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've made it a point to put in ominous anywhere I can.
Love that.
I really appreciate that you noticed. Thank you. It's all about the details.
Of course.
On his computer, he had looked up snuff films and autopsy pictures. Then they found a piece of a newspaper that had a picture of a human heart on it. He also got Victoria's Secret catalogs every month, which people that talked to Charlie said he called Michelle, quote, Victoria's Secret, which is
That's
weird.
creepy.
Yeah.
You and these creepy men.
Oh, my bad. He would talk to his coworkers about her and how into her that he was. Lisa, Michelle's friend that I mentioned earlier, said this about Charlie, quote, he was just very quiet and reserved. He would just sit back and observe. Michelle and I used to call him eccentric, unquote. Someone came forward, I think it was Charlie's sister Angela, and said that Charlie had a record a lot of people didn't know about. On January 3rd in 1971, Charlie's mom, I think it's Ilsa, who was 8 months pregnant, was taking a bath, and his dad Herbert was in the bathroom shaving. Charlie and Angela were in bed, or so everyone thought. Charlie would have been about 13 at this time, and he went into the bathroom with his dad's gun and shot both of his parents. His dad lived, but his mom and the baby died.
Jesus.
After shooting them, Charlie went to his sister's room and shot at her, but the gun either jammed or he was out of bullets. The two got into a physical fight, and Charlie tried to strangle her. She finally talked him down and told him she would handle this and help him, and he told her he didn't remember what he was doing and he didn't recall what had just happened in the bathroom, and she said it seemed like he was in a trance. First thing she said she needed to do was go get blankets for their young sisters who were in the house. He agreed to let her do that, and once she was away from him, she ran out of the house and went to the neighbors. He realized what his sister was doing, so he also went to a different neighbor's house and said, quote, I just shot my mom and dad, unquote. His dad was saved and said, yeah, Charlie shot us, and he had no idea why. Angela said that when she was in bed, she heard her dad yell, quote, Charlie, don't, or Charlie, stop, unquote, and then heard what she guessed could have been fireworks, but was actually Charlie shooting their parents.
That is wild.
The younger sisters were fine and not told what really happened to their mom until 2004, and before that, they were told that she had died in a car crash. So, very few people knew about his past. Charlie told the cops that he had shot his parents and tried to shoot his sister over a lot of things like school. He said, quote, everything sort of just snapped in my mind. I felt like I had never felt before, unquote. Since Charlie was around 13, they couldn't charge him with murder, so he was put into a mental hospital for a year, and then his dad regained custody of him in June of 1972, and then no one ever talked about it again.
That's insane.
I can't believe his dad was like, ooh, I want him back, like, and a year later, and he's like, oh, we're just gonna look the other way.
I mean, parents' love is blind
That's far,
and
though.
unconditional.
I mean, maybe leave him at the mental place a little bit longer.
Yeah, I feel like in a year you're not gonna get as much help as you need at that age.
Absolutely. After he was back with his dad, the family moved to Ormond Beach, Florida for a year, which was near their grandparents, and then his dad, who had a new wife, and the two younger sisters moved back to Indiana. And Angela and Charlie stayed with the grandparents in Florida, and then he married Terry, and we know how that ended. Since Charlie was a minor, his record was sealed, and very few people knew about what he did, but supposedly his sister told him that he needed to tell Terry about the murders before they were married, but no one knows if he actually did tell her.
I kind of don't think so.
I do, 'cause in a minute it gets brought up that she might have suspected him of doing other stuff.
Oh, wonderful.
After this, 26 unsolved murders were looked at with possible links to Charlie. Only the first one is considered solved, and three others weren't solved but had a lot of interest in it being him. The first victim was 38-year-old Sherry Parachot. She was found floating in water in Monroe County under a bridge, and she lived in a dinghy like right by that bridge. In July
What
of
is the dinghy?
just a small boat. In July of
Who lives in
1989,
it?
people live in boats.
Little ones? Like a dinghy, I would assume would be like those little metal ones that they cut in half
Like
on
that
the.
little like raft people keep on ships.
Yeah. The metal ones that the flex f seal guy cuts in half.
Well, I'm like, it must be bigger than that. I mean, as much as I want to be a boat guy, I couldn't identify a lot of boats. I need to update that knowledge.
Yeah, you do.
I'm dropping that ball, and I apologize.
Thank you.
That was a few months after Charlie and Terry moved to Big Pine. The bridge she was found by was 1,000 feet from Charlie's house, and he matched a witness description of the possible killer. She hadn't been in the water for more than 12 hours, and her throat had been cut, and she was missing her heart. Charlie and Terry had heard about Sherry's murder, and allegedly, Terry had told someone, I'm not sure who, she thought that the killer might have been Charlie, which, if true, maybe he had told her about killing his mom and trying to kill his sister and his dad. So I'm like, I wonder if that's why she suspected him.
Or if she was like, that creep was gone for a little bit of time, and I don't want to tell everybody that my husband doesn't have an alibi.
And she also allegedly told this person that the night Sherry was killed, Charlie had shown up at home with blood on him that he said had come from fishing. So I'm like, with your alibi thing and blood, I'm like, yeah, maybe she was like, that timing was way too weird.
Yeah.
Monroe County officially closed the case in May of 2006, naming Charlie as the killer officially.
So, if you're a significant other, you're in love with this person, you guys are married, would you snitch on them?
I mean, I wouldn't snitch on you.
Like, if you thought I did it, would you be like,
Hey. Oh, I'd ask you, and I would be like, were you just out murdering someone? But there's no way I'd snitch you out. I would be like, so you didn't leave anything like laying around, right?
fair.
But I'm like, I don't know. There's some people I would snitch on, and I would be like, so I'm gonna anonymously call and be like, hey, maybe look into this person. I think if I thought they were gonna kill me too.
Yeah.
But, like, I know you wouldn't kill me, so I'd be like, well, I'm not gonna snitch you out.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have that same mentality though, like how you and I do, like
Yeah, we are pretty weird.
yeah, we're not gonna snitch on each other, it's fine. But a lot of people are like, I can't handle knowing this information, I'm so sensitive.
Gotcha. Another possibly linked murder was sex worker 35-year-old Darlene Toller. She was last seen November 23rd, 1995. Her body was found wrapped in a blanket in a plastic bag and left by a road in southwest Miami-Dade County. She had been decapitated and her heart was removed from her body. Charlie drove the road to get in and out of Florida Keys, and he traveled a lot for work, so he was always making that trip. They found dog hair on the blanket wrapped around her and wanted to try to use it to link her murder to Charlie, but I never found anything past that. I just found that they wanted to try to link it, but I don't know if they did. But he wasn't charged with her murder officially, so I don't think so.
So, but he was charged with the other girl's murder?
Yeah, with the first one, they're like, yeah, they named him as the killer in 2006.
Then he didn't get a life sentence for that?
This was linked after he was already dead.
Oh.
So he killed his parents, and then years later kills his wife and her niece, and then after like putting all together that he had removed her heart and everything, they were
Then
like,
they
let's look
realized
into
it
like
was
unsolved cases,
associated.
and then
Okay.
26 they thought could have been him, and then one is the for sure one, and then there's like three more that they're like that possibly could have been him.
I think with the heart removal thing, like that's a key thing. Not a lot of people do that.
Yeah, I think that's how they ended up with like so many and then narrowed it down.
Especially if he's in the area of all of them.
Yeah. Another one was in 1988, 20-year-old Lisa Saunders was found dead in Big Pine Key. She was missing her heart and had been drugged from her car, beaten, and stabbed. There wasn't evidence to link Charlie, but there was the heart thing, and he would have been in that location. In 1978, there was 12-year-old Carol Sullivan, who was kidnapped from a bus stop in Volusia County. They thought she had been murdered and decapitated and found her head in a bucket. Charlie lived there at the time, but there was no other links to him.
Yeah, I'm like, those are all telltale signs.
I wonder what the rest were out of the 26. Those are just the ones where they're like, we're pretty sure it was him. So officially, Charlie killed his mom, Terry, Michelle, and Darlene, and possibly 26 more he can't conclusively be linked to.
And he's dead, so you can't ask him.
Facts. And that was the case of Charlie Brandt.
That's insane.
Yeah, I'm like, that was kind of a shorter one, but there really wasn't much more on it. They were just like, we think there's 26 more, but I couldn't find more about the cases.
I'm surprised this one, like, I haven't heard of before.
That's pretty gnarly.
Yeah, especially with serial killers and stuff, because I really like them.
But that was in, what, 2004 and in Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm like, sometimes they seem to bury stuff like that, even if it is as gruesome as that one is.
It's wild.
Well, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.